The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show on the Believe Podcast Network. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am thrilled. I think thrilled is the correct word. In fact, I know thrilled is the correct word to have my friend and NFL Network's Bridget Condon on the show to talk playoffs and mainly 49ers Cowboys. Bridget, welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show.
Thanks for having me. This is so exciting and such a fun time of the year. I feel like both of us are just like pinning our eyes open because we haven't slept since the beginning of the season, but home stretch, and this is where things get really exciting. So thanks for having me.
In the words of Brock Purdy after week 18, it matters now.
Oh, yeah.
So it really matters now. And it's funny, I've actually been heard Brock Purdy and a lot of the 49ers call the playoffs the tournament, which I haven't heard really before. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It is like the tournament. You're, you know, win or go home. But I like that. I kind of like thinking of it as like a tournament. So in this tournament of ours, we're down to the Elite Eight. If we're going to like, we're going to do it
now. March Madness. I love it.
March Madness. We're in January Madness. I'm like really just loving this analogy. So we're down to eight, and it is going to be the Chiefs and the Jaguars after the Jaguars' incredible comeback win over the Chargers, which you covered very well. And that very nice team, the Chargers fans. That was very kind. Just tell the listeners in case anyone missed it.
Well, I just feel bad for Chargers fans because they've really been going through it for like decades now. And everyone was so hyped. They were up 27-0. Four turnovers in the first half, I believe. It was just everything. It was roses. We were heading to Kansas City, booking our flights, and then Trevor Lawrence happened. They end up losing that game. So I put out on Twitter just to, you know, kind of empathize with the Chargers fans that is this a basketball podcast now? Because we're going to talk back about basketball, UVA basketball, which I also covered. I feel like people didn't realize that in the tweet. I was a reporter in Charlottesville during this time. They lost. They were the number one seed in March Madness. They lost to UMBC, the 16 seed, very infamously. No one seed had ever beat a 16 seed. It was horrible. People made fun of them.
You mean no 16 seed?
Yeah, sorry. It was horrible. But then the next year, they won the national championship. So I just kind of put that out there on Twitter. I was like, look, Chargers fans, anything can happen. I was kind of half joking, but seriously, that's the thing. I mean, did anyone expect the Bengals to be in the Super Bowl last year? No. Did anybody expect the Jags to be in the playoffs this year? No. So, you know, anything can happen. Positivity here.
And I appreciate that. I think Chargers fans do, but boy, if that wasn't the most big Charger event I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
Chargers, they just love to Charger. They love it. But they probably don't love it, but they do it anyway.
I had never experienced it. This is my first year on their team. So people had told me it and I'm like, no way. Like, that's not a thing. And now I fully am like, oh my goodness. I feel so bad for you.
It is very much a thing. Like, Charger's going to Charger. It's unfortunate, but maybe someday they won't.
Hey, they just fired their OC and quarterbacks coach this morning. So new era.
New era. That should solve everything. That should definitely solve everything.
Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So that's the Chargers. They're out. So we have Kansas City and Jacksonville at Arrowhead. This probably is where Jacksonville's Cinderella, I don't even know if we call it a Cinderella story, but kind of story comes to an end. But hey, any given Saturday, as they'll play on Saturday afternoon, but that will be Trevor Lawrence versus Patrick Mahomes. So that should be a fun one. And then Saturday night, a battle for the NFC East. And I was thinking this morning, remember when the NFC East, like a year ago, was the worst division in football? Basically, whoever won it, won it by default, much like the Buccaneers. And we'll get to that in a minute. But now they've got three teams in the divisional playoffs. It is the Eagles against the Giants in Philadelphia. I am not counting the Giants out on this one.
Absolutely not. This is going to be a massive game. I love East Coast teams because I feel like they just bring a different kind of fan base than we see on the West Coast. This is going to be gritty. This is going to be physical. Daniel Jones is starting to find his legs. He made a lot of really impressive plays last weekend where he's just kind of moving outside of the pocket. They're letting him do things like that and protecting him. It scares me a little bit about the Eagles because of, we don't know the full extent of Jalen Hurts' shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. I don't think that at this point in the season, you're giving all that information out to the media or to the opposing team. Plus they're, you know, we've seen this in the past where teams get that bye the first round and then they're a little bit rusty coming out. I think this is going to be such a good game. I hope it's a close game, comes down to the final seconds. But yeah, like you were just saying, I remember I was in Virginia and North Carolina, so covered the Commanders. And it was that year that correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the team that made the playoffs weren't even above 500 from their division. Right. So just to see this, I think is so good for, you know, the competitive nature of football, because I think when, you know, the same teams dominate every year, we get a little sick of it. So it's fun to see this. And just the fan bases. Oh my goodness. It's going to be insane in that stadium.
It most certainly is. That is like, cause the NFC East rivalries too, think are so intense. So, and I have friends who are like Cowboys fans or Giants fans or Eagles fans or Commanders fans, and they can never decide which team they hate the most. So that one is going to be fun. And then the next AFC game will be on Sunday, the game you will be covering, the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals. That is going to be a huge game. A game, of course, filled with emotion for a variety of reasons. The last time these two teams met, of course, was the DeMar Hamlin situation. He's doing so much better, which is incredible. That's going to be a very big game at Orchard Park. And it's also going to be cold.
Oh my God. Aside. I've been trying to Amazon Prime winter coats, but they're not going to get here in time. I don't know really what my situation is. I went to the mall yesterday in LA and you can't get a winter coat here. It's just a fashionable thing that doesn't actually protect you. This is also going to be, you know, between this and the Giants Eagles games, I think these are going to be the two most intense games. Mm-hmm. Obviously all the emotion that, you know, with DeMar Hamlin, but also these are two of the best teams I truly believe in the AFC. This could be the AFC championship game, just didn't fall that way because of the seeding. I'm a little nervous about Buffalo, what they showed last weekend against Miami. Things got really close there at the end. I mean, same with Cincinnati. I didn't think that game would be as close as it was with the Ravens. So it'll be interesting. I'm heading to Cincinnati tomorrow, so I'll be there in the locker room Thursday and Friday. And I'm kind of interested to hear, you know, if they're starting to talk trash or if it's still, because after that Monday night game, because of everything that happened, there was a lot of respect from both teams, understandably so, because of what they went through together. So I'm curious, you know, are we still in that mindset, or is it more, you know, kind of what they said about the Ravens? We hate these guys. This is, you know, back to just football, back to business. We're mad because they have the home field advantage, because that was also, you know, a situation that could have changed had that Monday night game been played out. These are two, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. We're going to be talking about these quarterbacks for the next decade plus. So this is going to be a legendary game. And plus, you know, what happened last year in the playoffs between these two teams, a lot of revenge, I think the Bills are after.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. We had so many good quarterbacks this weekend. Yeah. That's another thing. Like just so many good quarterbacks, including the great Brock Purdy. So we have gotten to, you guys see how I did this, just so you guys don't think this is my first rodeo. I went in order knowing we were going to end up with the game that our listeners probably care about the most. And that is going to be another Cowboys 49ers playoff game rematch. Last year, they played in the wild card. The 49ers won that game. That game ended weird. That whole game was weird. There were so many strange things that happened in that game. Briefly, Monday Night Football, Cowboys Bucks was a terrible game for the Buccaneers. Probably Tom Brady's last game in Tampa. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe Tom Brady's last game. I didn't find it that surprising. I did think the Cowboys were just going to steamroll them because the Buccaneers talk about a team under 500. They're there because of Tom Brady, yeah. But this has not been a team that has played well or looked good really at all this season. They were just kind of like the NFCs before them. They were just lucky to be in that division. The 49ers defense is not the Buccaneers defense. Dak Prescott played a spectacular game Monday night. I don't know that he'll be able to play quite as well with the 49ers pass rush coming at him, but this should be a good football game. This is an intense rivalry too that has gone on since like the 90s or before. Yeah. It's been going on forever, but that is going to be the ultimate game of the weekend. Or I wanted to say, yeah, I guess the last game of the weekend is really what I'm going with. It will also be intense. Part of me thinks the 49ers are just going to run away with it. And then part of me thinks it's going to be very close and come down to the final second.
I think what it's going to come down to is how many interceptions Dak Prescott throws. And I was concerned about that yesterday against the Buccaneers because he had been on this spell where he'd thrown an interception, I think every game or almost every game. I was at that game. The Cowboys played the Jaguars in Jacksonville. And remember, it came down to overtime. In overtime, Dak threw the interception. Jaguars win. Crazy situation. And that's really been the story of this team is, and it's not always been his fault. I want to say that too. You know, he's worked with some new receivers, you know, the past couple of weeks, but when this team is good, they're really good. If they have mistakes like we saw in the regular season, that's where they're going to trip up. And, you know, when you're going up against one of the best defense in the NFL and the 49ers defense and the pass rush, like you just said, that's when these interceptions are going to happen. So if they can, it's really going to come down to, and I feel like we're repetitive saying this, but the turnover battle, whoever wins the turnover battle is going to win this game. You know, the Cowboys have a great defense as well. But there are, you know, I do have some questions about their offense, their offensive line, how they're able to match up against, you know, Nick Bosa.
That's a big one.
I really do think it's going to be a more defensive battle for these two teams. And, you know, people talk about Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. Well, in order for the 49ers to win with Brock Purdy, this, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, who's now relevant against one of the best quarterbacks in the league and Dak Prescott, they got to do what they've been doing all season, which is not really making the game against Brock, making it, you know, really revolve around Debo and Christian and George Kittle and just, you know, keeping it simple, not trying to do anything crazy because you're in the playoffs, you know?
Well, and Brock Purdy had said a couple weeks ago, and I know for those of you who listen every week, which I'm sure is obviously all of you, but for those who are listening, it should be all of you. You guys, I hope everyone listening right now is like, you said that, but Brock Purdy said after the Week 18 game, when people were asking about, you know, getting into the playoffs, he said, which I thought was interesting because it was the first time I've heard him say it out loud. And he said, the weight of the world is not on my shoulders. I just have to do my job.
Right.
We have the playmakers. We have this defense. And that's the reality. And I think when we talk about the turnover battle and mistakes, you know, it remains to be seen just how good Brock Purdy is going into the future.
Yeah.
My feeling is at this moment, he will be the 49ers starting quarterback next year. We know what Dakota Prescott is. I like to call him. We know what Dakota Prescott is. We know how good Dak is, all of these things. But what Brock Purdy has been very good about is not making mistakes.
Yeah.
And not throwing interceptions. He's been amazing at it. He's had a few. There was a game, the game against Arizona, or was it? No, it was the playoff game the other day. It was the game against Arizona. Everett's all like bloody together. It looked like he was trying really hard to throw a pick, like real, real hard, and he just couldn't get it done. But for the most part, he's been really good about that. He's good at throwing the ball away, minus this one 17-yard sack he took against Arizona. He's really good avoiding the sack. He's very slippery.
Yeah.
He can extend plays. It's just incredible. And if he can do that, I don't see how the 49ers lose this game. The Cowboys have a great defense too, but that pass rush with Nick Bosa has been incredible. The one area where I would say there's been a little bit of concern concern recently on the 49ers defense is at cornerback. So we've seen Deommodore Lenoir have a rough few weeks. He had a better day the other day. He had that big interception towards the end of the game. There was actually a very key play in which he kept DK Metcalf in the first half to 4 yards. And that actually ended up being a very big play in the game because it totally could have swung momentum. But it's been up and down. Charvarius Ward probably had his worst game of the season on Saturday. Not the best timing for that. But I think even with Charvarius Ward, who's been incredible for San Francisco, the last few weeks have been a little up and down. And that would be the one area of concern I have for the defense right now.
Yeah. And I remember watching that game in the beginning. You know, I remember on Twitter, everyone was saying, you know, just to go back to Brock for a second, that this guy was not fazed about being in the playoffs. And he was, you know, so level-headed. Things were going their way. And there was a minute there in the game. I don't know if it was the second quarter or the beginning of the third quarter where Seattle kind of, you know, got hot for a second. And because of the defense, like what you were saying, and Brock kind of, you know, making some questionable plays. And that's when everybody, I think, kind of tuned in and was looking, okay, this 49ers defense is facing some adversity right now, or this 49ers team in general, how do they respond? And I think to your point, even though there have been some up and down moments at cornerback for this defense, or, you know, on offense when Brock is making some plays that we haven't characteristically seen him make the past couple of weeks, they've found a way to kind of stay level and maintain the success and kind of regroup and say, okay, you know, we can have these mistakes, but we're going to come back and be stronger the next play or the next drive, which I think is very important, especially in the playoffs, because, I mean, we saw it against, you know, the Jags and the Chargers. If Trevor Lawrence and the Jags had have freaked out being down 27-0, they never would have came back. And that's what's so important in the playoffs, because these margins of error are so small, the mental mistakes, you know, you don't have time to really all the time you have in the regular season to go through these things. So it's all about that mental toughness and being able to make adjustments on the fly and staying calm, which I really praise the 49ers for being able to do this whole season, no matter, you know, where they are up or down.
And I think that's the thing with Brock Purdy, to be honest, has been the most impressive for me. There's, you know, those first few games, there really wasn't much adversity at all. There was some adversity with Vegas. There was adversity a little bit in that, you know, Cardinals game. And then you go to the playoffs and he did not start out great. There definitely were some nerves, whether he and they want to admit it or not. And which is fair.
Right.
Completely understand.
Let's remember who this guy is. None of us knew his name at Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. Like that's so that, totally.
Maybe
fair.
You did.
So
the fangirls did.
I did because I've been with this team every day since July. And I've been with him since the draft. I mean, so I've known him a long time, but most people did not.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I did 5 fun facts with him at rookie minicamp. And I say that because you guys should check it out because it's on Instagram.
They've already seen it. Great.
And it's gone viral. And I know you guys, if anybody's missed it, it's amazing.
Actually, if you want to rewatch.
I don't want to brag, but it has so many views. I feel like everybody really actually has already seen it. But most people did not know Brock Purdy. And kind of going back a little bit, when the 49ers were cutting their roster, you know, down to 53, when we talked to Kyle and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, you know, John said like he won that spot. He beat out Nate Sudfeld for that spot. And John Lynch had made a comment at the time and said one of the reasons too, not only did he prove to us that we wanted him on our team, but we also didn't want a chance cutting him to get him on the practice squad because we were concerned that someone else would pick him up.
And as they probably would have.
And they probably would have. And at the time, I was like, oh, maybe. But now I see it. And they were very high on him from the beginning. Even draft week, when they drafted him, when we talked to them on the final day of the draft, they were very high on Brock Purdy. They were very excited about Brock Purdy. Brian Griese, the 49ers quarterbacks coach, he was very excited about Brock Purdy. He spoke very highly of him. So they were very high on him. And now we see why. And kind of going back to the beginning of this conversation, that's what's been the most impressive about him is how he's responded. And, you know, there's this thing that people say in football all the time, the game's not too big for him. And it's not, you know, and it's such like sounds like such a funny phrase, but it's not. And I think we saw it the other day and we saw him show a lot of emotion the other day. There was the touchdown to Elijah Mitchell in the third quarter that really turned things around and really had the 49ers at that point started to run away with it. And we just saw him get so excited and so much emotion. My favorite thing is when Trent Williams picks him up.
Gosh.
Because Trent Williams is this massive, massive human being. And Brock Purdy is not. And he looks like a teenager. And he like picks him up. And it's, I just think it's like the funniest thing ever. It's just, it's so funny. But that's what's been so impressive. And that's why they've all been really high on it.
Trent Williams all been really excited. Is my favorite interview as of, you know, when I was out there. I don't know. I think Brock Purdy's first start that week. Okay. He is just such, he must be such a fun guy to cover because he's just so real and so raw. Yeah. And the, you know, there's just so many fun players on this team, which also I do think really translates. Like everyone says, you know, how much does that really matter? The chemistry in the locker room, on the field, it does. And especially in times like this where, you know, I was just talking to Joe Burrow last week, I was down in Cincinnati and he was saying the biggest difference for them entering the playoffs this year versus last year is, or it wasn't Joe Burrow. Sorry. It was one of their defensive players. I'm blanking right now, but he was basically saying last year, maybe if the defense or the offense had a 3-and-out or the defense allowed a touchdown, people would be, you know, kind of mad, freaking out. But this year, you know, you trust each other, you know, that's part of the game. And it's like, okay, if you guys have 3-and-out, that's cool. We're going to go in there. We're going to stop this offense, whatever. Or the defense gives up a touchdown. The offense is thinking, whatever, we'll go out there and we'll get 7 ourselves, which really makes a difference again, just to, you know, let the game play, because there are going to be times where things aren't perfect. And the teams who can manage through that are the teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl.
I did a story a couple weeks ago on this team and how many stars there are in that locker room. There are a lot of stars in that locker room.
That's a good point.
But there's not a lot of ego. There's healthy ego, but there's not a ton of ego. And everybody I talked to a man, said, we want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't care about how many targets I get. I don't care if I get the accolades. We want to win a Super Bowl. And that's what everybody wants to do. And everybody has bought in on. And that it's been that way since the beginning of training camp. It was something that they talked about like that. It's that was the focus for the entire season. And they are a fun team and they do get along really well. And I do think it starts with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and just the team they've assembled. But everyone has this common goal. And I think that's been what's interesting about this regime generally. Because even in 2017, when they were 0-9, that locker room did not feel like a locker room that was 0-9. And not because they didn't take it seriously, but because they'd bought in on Kyle Shanahan. And they'd bought in on John Lynch and the culture they were building and the team they were building. And they knew there was a plan. And even if they were going to be 0-9 that year, things were going to change and it's worked.
It just feels like, too, that this is, we're in the middle of the chapter, but this book, the ending of this book is the 49ers winning the Super Bowl, right? Because, I mean, can we go back to the beginning of the season or during training camp when Jimmy Garoppolo was throwing behind the bleachers at practice because he didn't want to be distracting the team because Trey Lance had won the starting job? And I remember, you know, I work these news shifts and we're constantly like just watching for breaking news. And I remember there were days where I'd go in and they'd be like, okay, you know, we're watching the Jimmy Garoppolo news because people thought he would get traded or what was going to happen with him, or he was going to get released. You know, there was a point where people were wondering, are they just going to put him on the practice squad or are they going to just let him go? You know, before everything got figured out, but it's just crazy that that's where we started. Trey Lance gets hurt. Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo goes in. Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. And then this guy, Brock Purdy, okay, he wins his first game against the Bucs, you know, crazy. Or I think that was his first, I guess he will start.
He came in, it was his first start. But I look at that Miami game because you know, everyone says, well, he came in for Jimmy. He came in on like the second series of the game.
Against Jimmy Miami, who was red hot right then.
And that team, and that game seemed to break the Dolphins.
Oh, I mean, literally.
Brock Purdy broke the Dolphins. And he, and I felt like at the time, I was like, I think we have to look at this Miami game as the most impressive because he comes popping in here and they weren't like, I mean, he had to lead them to a win. I mean, everybody obviously did their part and the first couple throws were a little iffy, but I thought that was really impressive. And then it just got more and more. And the thing that impressed me the most is in Seattle on 4 days rest, Thursday night football, and he's hurt.
That environment.
All these things, that environment, not healthy, and they win and they clinch the division. And I was like, this guy's
right. I think we all were thinking like, okay, you know, he beat the Bucks. Okay. You know, the story, you know, happy, whatever, it's going to end, it's going to crash. And it hasn't. And so, you know, for someone who is just a fan of stories, it's either gotta be this Niners team or the Bills, because I think the Bills are the other story. Everything they went through this season, you know, even going back to, was it this summer with the shooting in the supermarket? mm-hmm. or the beginning of the season. I mean, they have faced so much adversity. I know football and the football gods don't care about a good story, but it would just be amazing to, you know, have something good happen for one of these teams.
Absolutely. And I think we very well may see a Bills 49ers Super Bowl.
That would be crazy.
A lot of people are picking Bills or 49ers Chiefs rematch, which also very well could happen because, you know, they're kind of good and they have a pretty decent quarterback back there. But
how about the Jags upsetting the Chiefs? What do we think there?
God, that'd be something. I'm all for it. And not because I don't like the Chiefs, but wouldn't that be such a great story?
Yeah. I don't know that it's going to happen. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is really good. But
Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes is the kind of player that you just need Patrick Mahomes. Like, really, like, obviously, he'll change everything. So I don't know that, you know, I don't know that.
We could definitely dream. I just like playing scenarios through my head. And one of my scenarios that I like is the Jags against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, because Doug Peterson mm-hmm. versus his former team. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just, you always got to find the story, but I guess it just really matters about the football.
Your listeners
are going to be like, get this girl off. We just want to talk X's and O's.
No, people come to this for story and X's. If they're just looking for X's and O's, it's a different podcast. They know that this one is a variety of things that I think the story, but to your point on the story, I will say this, the story goes back to the chemistry and the having fun. Mm. And I do think that can make a difference in a football game.
Yeah.
I really do. D'Amico Ryans talks a lot about hero ball on the defense, and that he tells his guys, you don't have to play hero ball. We all have a job to do. And if everyone does their job, we don't need a hero. And I think it's something that actually is permeated throughout the locker room. And I think that's true of really good, balanced teams. And, you know, I think it would be an incredible story if the 49ers win the Super Bowl on their third string quarterback, who then basically is...
He better get paid.
He's on his first year rookie contract.
Do you think the 49ers would keep him as a starting quarterback? You know, am I allowed to ask you a question? I know you're the host. I'm just curious because you're so close to the team. So if the 49ers have the situation where Trey Lance is healthy, Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady wants to come there, what are they going to do?
I think the Tom Brady thing is not going to be a thing. I just don't think it's going to be. I think we take the Tom Brady thing out of it just because I think at this point, I also think for San Francisco, I understand that he is Tom Brady and he is the GOAT, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But if Brock Purdy can win you a Super Bowl in this system, why
risk it?
Why like mess the apple cart? I think if we take, let's take Tom Brady out of it for now.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it won't happen. The NFL is crazy, but let's just take, if we're just looking at Brock Purdy and Trey Lance, I think if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, perhaps they have a quarterback competition in training camp. But I think it's Brock Purdy's job to lose and not Trey Lance's job.
Even though Trey brings so much more with his legs.
I just think, look at
what he's done.
Look at what Brock has done. And I think the other thing too, and this is not Trey's fault, and this isn't anybody's fault, and it's football, and it's like probably my least favorite narrative, but one of the big reasons they were moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo was health.
Yeah.
And Trey Lance has not played a lot of football, and he's been hurt pretty much every time he's played. Yeah. He hurt his hand in a preseason game in 2021. He hurt his knee in his first one of two starts against Arizona last season in place of Jimmy Garoppolo. He started two games, but he hurt his knee in that one, and then he got hurt.
What week did he get hurt this season?
Two.
Okay.
Week two. About this, I think it was the second. It was the first offensive series, maybe second.
Oh,
play
God, you just hate that
maybe
for
it wasn't
a player.
Second play game. It was early. It was very early. You definitely hate it, and it's not his fault.
Yeah.
And it's football. Totally get it. But I just think if Brock Purdy, and here's the other thing, and we haven't gotten this yet, but I think this is the other thing to keep in mind when you look at this offense and what Kyle Shanahan lets Brock Purdy do. He trusts Brock Purdy in a way that I have never seen him trust another quarterback. And Trey is different because the sample size is so small, but he trusts Brock Purdy and he just lets him go. And we really have not seen that with Kyle in this entire time.
Yeah. And you think Jimmy just goes to another team?
I think Jimmy goes to another team. Well, I have this like hot take that Jimmy Garoppolo is on this team until the end of time.
And he's just the backup.
Just like
getting water
or like coming in and not like till the, like literally like the end of time. But I think the reality is there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Yeah, for sure. This season
he's, you know, there's, I also have a very, this is like a huge hot take. This is like a scorching hot take.
Brock Purdy, give it to me.
Jimmy is the backup and they trade Trey to try to get a pick or two back. But okay. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to stay here as the backup because in fairness to Jimmy, there are teams that need starters that will pay him as a starter. The 49ers are not going to pay him 20 some odd million dollars to be a backup for the next 3 years. So I think there's that too. But that's my feeling. I think it is Brock Purdy is QB1, Trey Lance is QB2. And like I said, maybe there's a quarterback competition, but it becomes more Brock's job to lose. But I don't know that they even do that. If he comes in here and he wins a Super Bowl, like I don't know how you take the job away from
even
him. And he's under contract.
You know, even right now, forget winning the Super Bowl. What he's been able to do, if he beats this Cowboys team, you know, I don't even need him to win the Super Bowl for me for him to have my respect, you know?
Absolutely. I think he's the guy. I really do. I think he is the guy because there's people have said to me, well, what about Nick Foles? He won the Super Bowl as the backup. But Nick Foles was a free agent.
Different situation.
Totally different situation. And that would be incredible.
And Brock Purdy is so young. He's what, 22 years old, 23 years old? Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine what he could look like in 5 years, even just a full offseason as the QB1.
Absolutely. So I think he is it. And I think if he could, the team respects him, the coaches respect him, and
he's got that swagger too, you know?
He does. He's got that swagger. He's got the confidence. And I just think he is their starting quarterback.
You heard it here first. You heard it here. Tracy Sandler, breaking news.
I'm telling you, I really think it. That would be my feeling. I think as the Tom Brady scenario makes things interesting, but I think we take that out. I don't know that that's going to be a thing now.
Yeah.
I think this kind of changes all of it. And I know there'll be a lot of people that be like, Brock Purdy is no Tom Brady. I agree with that. But if you've got a young quarterback who's done well for you, like you said, do you want to mess with that? Or this is now your future. It's not just about next year.
Right.
Now
because Tom's going to come somewhere for a year, maybe two, you know, he's got to retire soon. So you're going to think about longevity and why mess things up to then just have to go back. Yeah. I understand that.
Bridget, we have an exciting weekend of football ahead. I can't wait. Have so much fun in Cincinnati and Buffalo. You guys, follow Bridget. Bridget, tell everybody where to follow.
Instagram, Bridget Condon TV. I think my Twitter is like Bridget Condon _. Somebody has Bridget Condon. You know, if we could just get them off Twitter, that would be great. But I'm excited to see your game day fit. It better be fire.
Thank you. Oh, I think it's going to be. I will put it up for a vote, but I think I have an idea of what it's going to be, and I think it's going
to be. I'm jealous you're going to be able to. I heard it's going to be nice in the Bay Area. I'm jealous you're going to look cute. I'm going to look like an Eskimo because I'm going to be freezing. So I don't know. Let me know how you look cute in a winter coat on TV. If anyone knows the answer, let me know.
I'll get back to you on that for sure. I'll get some thought of that. You guys, if you like what you heard, and I know you did, please give us 5 stars. Leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And with that, talk to everybody next time. Bye all.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.